I'm going to call this meeting to order, the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors for March 18th, 2014. Please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will begin our meeting today with public comments for items that are not on the agenda. Anybody can make a comment about that. I have three requests to speak. First one is Carmen Sabatino.
Good evening. I received forwarded an email from the Wood Colony Community Association on March 13th. It was forwarded to me, and it was an important reminder from the community, from the Wood Colony Community Association about the meeting, and that the guest speakers were going to be Stanislaus County Department of Legislative Affairs. I don't know what that is. I don't know where that department is. And it was emphasized that no media were to be present. That is something that's been going on with Wood Colony meetings from their inception. No media. And I guess I could be considered media, but I didn't go to the meeting. But on Thursday, March 13th, the meeting was held in the old gymnasium at Hart Ransom School. And Supervisor Terry Withrow put the meeting together for residents of Wood Colony to discuss the formation of the Municipal Advisory Council. Now, I'm told that Supervisor Withrow was asked to form the meeting. We can check that out. But joining Supervisor Withrow was Keith Bogg, Stanislaus County CEO's office, Jack Doring, County Council, Angela Freitas, Director of Stanislaus County Planning and Community Development, and Matt Machado, Director of Stanislaus County Public Works. The agenda included introduction, MAC basics, the Brown Act, MAP boundaries, and an open discussion followed. While the county's PowerPoint presentation was thorough, it was the open discussion that proved most interesting. It seemed that the majority of the approximately 75 selected invitees in attendance approved of the MAC formation, and that pursuing the endeavor, quote, without delay, was the desired course of action. However, a few serious concerns were raised by a couple of Wood Colony's elder statesmen who are incidentally not stepping forward to assume responsible leadership for protecting farmland and water. And that's where my interest lies. Could the max five members be trusted to faithfully represent the wishes of the majority of the Wood Colony residents? First of all, the Wood Colony residents were not polled to find out if they wanted a MAC, to my knowledge. The analogy of over 300 Wood Colony residents appearing and speaking to the Modesto City Council saying, do not take Wood Colony, and the council's subsequent vote, which is in the other direction, was cited. Supervisor Withrow said that he would appoint the original five members of the MAC, and that members of the MAC could be recalled if residents were not satisfied with their performance. Another issue was brought forward. Are we putting the cart before the horse? Was the meeting to discuss the formation of a MAC, as titled on the county-produced literature, apparently the county produced the literature, and the PowerPoint, or to pursue its formation at once, and again, without the input of a greater sampling of Wood Colony residents. And again, the project, the issue was to be done without delay. It would only take a few weeks. The last question, the question that started it for me, was the raised as to why the media was specifically excluded from attending the meeting. Why was the formation of a public entity being held in secrecy, or at the very least, in exclusivity? There will be another meeting in approximately 2 weeks. I don't bring this up to attack Supervisor Withrow or anyone else for that matter. I bring it up because you've engaged in creating a public entity without public input, sufficient public input to warrant what the people of Wood Colony want. I was reminded today, and I want to leave you with this, that as Mayor of Modesto, had it not been for our council and me, you could well have Reagan Wilson sitting in that chair. Mr. Wilson lied. I think what we need from this board, from the city council, and for public officials is the truth. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for your comments, Carmen.
Jim, can I just real quick? Carmen, we spoke. Sorry, Jim.
Just push the button, Nick.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hit the button. Just a couple of things, and Carmen, we've talked about this before the meeting here, but this, the MAC is something that's been kind of in the works probably 8 months ago it first began, that we were approached by people in the Wood Colony area that were interested in forming a MAC. So this is totally a community-driven process here, and it's happening, I would say, probably in light speed as far as government time, over 8 months, us kind of putting this thing together. They put out notice of the meeting. They contacted, as far as I understand, they made contact with, they have about 300 people that they have on their list that have attended other meetings. They contacted those people through emails. They went door to door and put flyers out. They did everything they could to get people to attend this meeting, to make them aware of it and attend the meeting. And so we've got to this point where we then presented the information like we would to any community that's interested in forming a MAC. And now it's back in their court again for them to decide what they want to do. But you know, I was very proud of the county staff. What they did a great job presenting the information to them, and now it's back, like I said, in their court, and they'll decide where they want to go with it. So we're just basically serving the community as we do any of our county communities.
Okay, the next card that I have to speak is Amanda Sorensen.
Hi, this is my first time coming to a Board of Supervisors meeting, so thank you for letting me speak. I'm speaking as a Slida resident, and first, let me just start off by saying that I was at that MAC meeting for Wood Colony, and thank you to Supervisor Withrow and to the county for coming out and doing their presentation. I thought it was very informative for the community. If they want to start a MAC, great. If not, that's great too. That's let them decide what they want, not outside influences. Secondly, as you all know, Slida is still under the threat of annexation, and we really need your support in fighting that. I know some of you are on LAFCO and can't speak, but if you support Slida, maybe just kind of do that or clap or something. But we do need your support. We do need your help, and we need as much help as we can get to fight Modesto. It feels like we're fighting, you know, David versus Goliath scenario, and I kind of feel like Slida might be on the losing end. So we need as much support as we can get. So with that being said, I know Terry supports us, and I know Dick Monty is also a strong advocate for Slida. So I hope you guys really get reelected this year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Zach Couch. Hope I pronounced your name properly.
Good evening. My name is Zach Couch. I'm the president of the California Sporting Dog Association. I came to talk to you guys tonight about Assembly Bill 2205. It's Tim Donley Bill. I passed out some copies of it for you guys. Basically, in 2012, there was a Senate bill, 1221, that took away the use of dogs for bear and bobcat hunting in California. AB 2205 will reverse that bill, and it will give you guys the authority to decide whether or not dogs can be used in Stanislaus County. Basically, we modeled it the same way that they did the doe hunts. In 1958, they passed a bill that gives the County Board of Supervisors the authority to permit doe hunting in their county, and we're basically modeling that for dogs. I don't think it's ever been challenged for doe hunts in 55 years. It's worked good for the hunters and the county, so we'd like to ask for a letter of support for 2205, the same as you guys wrote a letter of opposition for 1221 last year, or in 2012, I believe. So we'd like to ask for a letter of support from the county.
Okay. Mr. Couch, is this just for the use of hunting bears, or?
It's for the use of dogs.
And for anything? For any?
Well, right now they've banned the use of dogs for bear and bobcat.
They use dogs for duck hunting. I think it's impossible hunt ducks without a dog.
They had a Fish and Game Commission meeting last month in L.A., and they're trying to put another bill on this year that will ban the use of dogs for everything. There will be no dog hunting for ducks, no waterfowl, upland game, anything.
It's impossible to hunt for ducks without a dog. Okay, could you please give the clerk contact information?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. We'll take it up between us. Okay, those are all the speaker cards I have. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to make a comment on anything that is not on the agenda? Okay, come in. Just state your name for the record, please.
Hello, my name is Nanette Spikesman. I'm from Salida. And I'd also like to just verify that I also did get a invitation to the meeting that was held at Heart Ransom. I did not attend because I really wasn't going to be part of the MAC, and I would have liked to have attended, but it was just something that I knew I wasn't going to be a part of. But just to clarify things, too, that I knew that Terry needed to be there because he was overseeing that. And it was the Wood Colony people, because I am in contact with them, that also did show interest on starting the MAC. So there was really, I just want to let everyone know that Terry's doing a wonderful job, and I support him 100%. So go, Terry. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to make a comment on a non-agenda item? Okay. All right, Judith. Perhaps next time. Okay, we will now go to the consent calendar. Does any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, does any member of the audience wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded that we approve the consent calendar. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's carried 5-0. Okay, we'll now move to agenda item B4, acceptance of the advisory board and substance abuse programs. Annual report.
Good evening, Chairman DeMartini, board members, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring. It's my pleasure tonight to have the annual report on the substance abuse programs in our county. Report on that. I think we've missed a few years, and so I'm glad we're back on track with that. As an introduction, I would just like to say, by the way, I'm Madeline Schleffer, the Behavioral Health Director. Addiction is a chronic disease. It is often relapsing, but it is no different than other diseases like diabetes. We often have individuals having difficulty engaging in treatment for diabetes. It's always the denial that you have an issue. addiction is no different. But the thing that about it is very important is that it is preventable. And that's why we spend a lot of our energy on focusing on youth and trying to make sure that youth do not go down the path of addiction. That was in great measure why we brought the Drop the Drugs to you a few months ago. Addiction has an impact on lives that is almost worse than mental illness. It looks like addicts die 35 years earlier than is normal, which is a huge impact. There's an impact on healthcare costs. There was a very interesting presentation I heard once by a researcher from Kaiser, Connie Wisner, who basically was able to demonstrate that relatively easy access to treatment for addiction saved a great deal of healthcare dollars, and it interestingly had an impact, a positive impact on the families of addicts, that their health problems also improved. And lastly, I just want to say that recovery is possible. And our speaker tonight, the chair of our ABSAT board, is a living testimony to that. So at this point, I'd like to introduce John Robin.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm a bit nervous. I haven't spoken in front of Board of Supervisors before. I have spoken before, so my heart's racing, but I feel good. So thank you for having me tonight. First, I'd like to apologize for us not keeping you abreast of the things that have been going on with the alcohol and other drugs programs. But you do have a very comprehensive report in front of you tonight, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing here right now, but I would ask you to please take some time and absorb what's in it. It's a lot of people doing a lot of hard work, and it deserves some recognition and acknowledgement. So in the first part of what I'd like you to look at is the board agenda request form, the third page in. There's some bullets when it talks about the discussion. About halfway down the page, it says that there's a new five-year prevention plan the county's identified for underage drinking, marijuana use among school-age youth, and misuse, abuse of prescription drugs among youth and youth adults as the three most pressing problems. So on that, I'd also like to say that we've formed a joint prevention committee with the mental health board as well. And then further down the page, I'd also like to mention the alcohol and other drug stakeholders' recommendations have been fully implemented, and the board members are monitoring the implementation and the services being offered. On those notes, again, it's expanded in this report for you guys to go over, and it's considering the budgetary cuts and the task that was given to try to facilitate more services with $900,000 reduction in finances. I think it's a commendable piece of work that the county put forth and has done to try to get to more addicts and offer more services. So the next page in towards the second bullet, it also talks about prevention efforts were highlighted in several meetings, including information on the life of an athlete program. Members of the advisory board on substance abuse programs were very supportive of this effort, which now has two high schools and California State University. Stanislaus committed to the program. Bless you. The program is now referred to as committed, and I wanted to say I have gotten to participate in some of those presentations, and if you don't know anything about the Life of an Athlete program, please go online and look at it. If you have kids, grandkids, it's good stuff no matter what, and teaching them good morals and good values. So I'd like to direct your attention to page 7 of the booklet that you guys have outlining our annual report. And in here, we start breaking down the numbers of the various programs and the number of people that they've been able to serve. So I again ask you to take some moments and go through it and take a look at the variety of different programs and their the number of people that they're being able to take care of or help out. On page 10, we go into the highlights of the AOD stakeholder process. And again, it discusses the budgetary constraints that we faced, and then some of the processes we went through in the repeated meetings with all of the stakeholders to come up with core ideas that were going to be the most beneficial to the society that we need to serve. And again, that all gets broken down with the recommendations on page 11. And then there's some prevention planning processes that gets into on page 13. And then as we go further into it, it goes over the specific drop the drugs, the developmental assets, selective prevention strategies, party patrol. Now those are the prevention measures we talked about earlier, or I talked about earlier. So with that, I wasn't going to bore you with a lot of reading a report that's right in front of you. I'm sure you guys are all take a look at it at your leisure. Part of what Madeline talked about, the area that I have more comfort in, is not so dry. It's when she talks about success stories, I am one. In 1995, I was broken and, for lack of a better term, subhuman from the ravages of my addiction. I got the opportunity to go through the reality program when it was still at the hospital. I was in the room that they called 90210. We nicknamed those rooms. There was one that was... anyway, in the room that I was in, what I want to say is going through that program, one of my roommates committed suicide a month out. Another one of the guys that came in on a crisis, they found him dead shortly afterwards from an overdose. And there was another man that I had met that when I was in there and had walked under a slow-moving train shortly after. I didn't know that the horrors of addiction were as terrible as all of that. I had my own issues and my own problems in my own life, and so when I walked into SRC, I became aware of the gravity of my situation and that I was up against something that I really had no clue on how to contend with on my own. So for the people that were there, I'm eternally grateful. It wasn't my first time being introduced to recovery. As many people know, it doesn't always take the first time. My first introduction was in 1985. It didn't stick. I was able to function in society until my dad committed suicide in 90, and I went down a degrading path that led me to SRC. What I want to say is I've been clean since September 5th of 95. So for me, the opportunity to learn social skills, adapting skills, behavioral skills that helped me to reintegrate into society, which I didn't know how to be a part of anymore, primarily came from that program. So I am a result of that. And what I want to say is today we have a thriving recovery community, and the county does work very well with that recovery community. So the county is not capable how would I put it? It would break the bank if you tried to fix everybody. But for the people that have been asking and the help is being offered, and I think that's a big deal, not just because of my own success story. When we talk about how recovery versus addiction affects the society. We all know addicts throw grenades and the family members and everybody close to them, you know, catch the shrapnel. We all know that stuff. But what you don't know is that in the success stories of the people that get to come and stay clean and the ones that are given the help and the support that they need, you really don't have an idea of the impact that they'll have in society. You know, for me, I answer to a considerable number of people in a different scenario, but all the same, a service-related life. You know, so I have a couple thousand constituents myself, and I use part of what I've learned in that first introduction and what I've developed since then. You know, in me, I value and cherish service as a way of life. So part of what I understood when I got clean was to give back to society. And for me, the opportunity to be on the advisory board has been how I give back to society in general. I didn't know how to reintegrate back into society, and the advisory board seemed to be the best way for me to do that where I feel comfortable. Because honestly, I don't feel comfortable in front of you guys. I've never felt comfortable in society. I've never felt comfortable in my own skin. You know, so me being up here looking like, you know, I'm okay is a facade sometimes. But what I wanted to say was it's a big deal that if you have any opportunity to influence being able to help suffering addicts in any way, shape, or form, you really don't know how much good you can do by leaning towards compassion and understanding, empathy, and sympathy for the families that are going through it. So you guys are decision makers, and you do make monetary decisions when it comes to this kind of stuff. So consider that you don't know how much good you can do whenever they're asking for the help. So that's what I have for you guys today. Is there any questions?
And Supervisor Chiesa?
I actually just have a comment. John, congratulations. This is great. You did a great job of conveying the message, too, I might add. So if you are nervous, you wouldn't know it. I think we're probably more nervous than you are most of the time. I have to commend you on one thing you said, because we don't have enough money to fix the addiction problems in this county. And when we build community capacity, it takes folks like yourself who donate their time, who have been through this, the cycle of addiction, as they call it, and have beat it, to let other people know that it's possible. Because you know what we see in folks, and you would know better than us, but how desperate they become, and to know that there's someone there for them. So, you know, on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, I want to thank you for helping us out, and you're doing great work there. I also like the Joint Prevention Committee, because mental illness and substance abuse are so closely related. Keeping the two of them co-joined makes a lot of sense. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Supervisor Monteith.
Mine will be short. I just want to applaud your contributions and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor.
Supervisor Withrow. John, just real quick, just to kind of reiterate what everyone else has said, again, thank you for all you do, and we're so proud of you. And you don't know how important all of us, everybody in here has been affected probably by somebody who's had an addiction, whether it was in our families, I know my own personal life, my dad, but you don't know how important it is for people to see as you go through this and then as you recover from it and what a hero you are to people. And I know in my own life with my dad, I know how important it was to see how hard it was to see somebody crash, but to see them recover, and just what an example what that is for people, and how, and I always think of it as you're taking the arrows for somebody else is what you're doing. And I always looked at that in my own family, that because of the trials and tribulations that you go through, and in my case my dad went through, that I hopefully will never have to go through that because of how much I've learned. So you just got to understand how proud everybody is of what you've done and what you're doing in your life. So thank you.
I wanted to mention real quick, Madeline mentioned diabetes. And at 16 years clean, I got diagnosed with diabetes. And she talked about the denial part of it. And I was in the hospital with diabetic ketoacidosis, pancreatitis, And they were pretty sure I wasn't going to live through that day if I didn't go in. And the denial and everything still was so great that I thought a couple weeks I'll be all right. And I have had to be vigilant with that and apply the same principles in recovery to go from 4 injections a day down to just a dietary adjustment is all I have to do now. And I think there was a higher power at work in that equation as well. But it's one of those things where vigilance is a key. So it's a continuing process. We don't just get fixed and it's all good. It's an ongoing thing. So, again, thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments?
Seeing none, thank you, John.
Wonderful, thank you.
Hey, Madeline, do you have anything further?
Thank you for your attention to this. That concludes our annual report. Thank you.
Okay. I noticed on page 14 of the report that the disposed of over 7,200 pounds of medications. When you came to us a week or two ago, I thought that this was a new program, but apparently it's something that's been going on since 2009.
Yes. The take-back events started then, and they've been going on since then, but they have been usually bi-yearly, so there'd be one in April and then one in the fall. Sometimes there were more within the month of September, but what we brought to you recently was the fact that there would be ongoing places to go with your medications, specifically the controlled medications, the opiates, the things that people like to get a hold of and get addicted to. So, yes, it has been in some form going on since 2009.
Yeah, 7,200 pounds in prescription drugs is a lot. By the way, how do you get rid of them? You take them to the burn plant?
They go to Covanta and are burned.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it looks like you're doing very good. You're making some progress in here. I know there's a lot of cost to society for addiction, not only in the personal lives of people that are torn up and families, medical costs, and loss of productivity and child neglect. And so there's a lot of downside to addiction, and I realize it's a difficult thing.
It is a constant battle, but we're working on it. And
I like to hear a success story with John.
That's what keeps me going.
Okay. Comments from the board or?
I'd like to move acceptance of the Advisory Board on Substance Abuse, their fiscal report year in 2012-13.
Okay, is there a second on the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Do we accept the report? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried 5-0. We have no scheduled matters today. We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department audit report for the Peace Officer Standards and Training Program from July 1st, 2012 to July 30th, 2013 from the California State Controller.
Refer to the Auditor, Controller, and the Sheriff.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the expenditures of the Neighborhood Stabilization Program 3 by the Stanislaus County Planning and Community Development Department.
Refer to the Planning and Community Development Department.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports? Supervisor Chiesa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make everyone aware, this coming Thursday night, March 20th, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at night, I am going to be holding a government night in Turlock. It's a gathering of the federal, state, and local representatives. It's going to be held at CSU Stanislaus in the Mary Stuart Rogers Building, room 130. There's about 130 people that are that can fit in the room. Congressman Jeff Denham will be there, Assemblywoman Kristen Olson, Mayor John Lazar, and myself. And it's just an opportunity for people to ask questions. Essentially open mic night. Everyone gives about a 10-minute presentation. Dr. Shealy will be opening up the event for us. So it's just a good opportunity to come and question and meet the people that are making decisions for you.
Okay. Anyone else? I'd just like to make one comment about our county staff. They did what I considered the impossible by getting that $40 million for the jail expansion. That, along with the sheriff, and I don't want to leave anybody out, so I don't want to call anybody, everybody who was involved with this. I know Patty Hill Thomas was a big part of it. But, you know, when we got the juvenile hall money, and then they went after $80 million for the jail expansion, I thought, well, you know, I don't think you can get two grants in a year. And then they got that, and then the $40 million for the other building on appeal, and it's the first time that I'm aware of that appeal had ever been granted. So they certainly have a very goal-oriented committee, and they have performed beyond the expectations of a normal person. So congratulations on that. It's just a job well done. I just can't believe you did it. So we're thankful that you did it, and we're going to go forward. Maybe you can get a grant for a new coroner's facility someday.
We're working well. We're getting
okay. Legislative and fiscal management report.
Well, Chairman DeMartini, you stole all my thunder. We're just extremely proud of our Chief Operations Officer, Patty Hill Thomas, the Sheriff, and the entire Capital Projects team. It really was an amazing feat, and the beauty about this particular project is that it's going to give us hope of replacing the downtown jail, and it doesn't have any additional operating costs for us. And so it's really going to allow us to provide a higher level of programming services, get people a reentry facility to get them trained and the type of assistance they need, and hopefully we can see a nice reduction in our recidivism rate. So we are extremely proud of what happened up in the state last week, and especially to Ms. Hill Thomas. Thank you for all your efforts there. The only other thing I think I want to mention is the Department of Finance released up-to-date figures on the state budget. And year-to-date revenues are tracking about $965 million above what was budgeted. So it's nice after all these years to be reporting some positive news on the state budget front. They also reported some labor market statistics that indicate that the state as a whole has recovered about 88% of the jobs lost during the recession. So, like I said, it's nice to have some positive news to report for a change. And that concludes my report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Eisen. Being no further business, this meeting is adjourned.